Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: The Christian and the Riches. Chapter 11. The Riches of God. Before advancing to the last chapter of the current theme, we understand that it would still be appropriate to dedicate at least a few more specific considerations about the riches of the kingdom of God, in addition to the various mentions that have already been made to them throughout the other chapters. The scriptures explicitly warn those who fear God to be mindful of their relationship with natural riches and not to lay up their treasures on earth. However, the same scriptures also address even more fully the theme of the greatness of the endless eternal riches that are offered to them in God. When the Lord warns human beings about cares and restrictions that they should also adopt in life concerning the riches of the earth, He does not intend to impose punishments and privations of all sorts on them. On the contrary, when the Lord teaches about the temporality and the limited benefits that the riches of the earth can provide, He does it so that people may be awakened that they need much more the riches that are lasting and whose limits are not restricted to material or transient life. Although the scriptures exhort people to be careful not to attach themselves inappropriately to the riches that are in the world, the same scriptures also exhort people to seek intensely and with a fervent spirit the riches and treasures that are offered to them by God. Remembering here that concerning those who are in Christ Jesus, there is no distinction of races, peoples, languages, or other natural distinctions to be able to access what is available in the Lord of their lives. Romans 10, 11-13. For the scripture says, "Whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Throughout this theme, we have already seen that the Lord promises to supply the material needs of all those who live a life of trust in Him, but we have also seen that the Lord's greater purpose is to grant everyone His righteousness and the superior riches that are directly associated with Him and that never run out or can be shaken. Proverbs 8:18. Riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. Thus, when exhorting people not to attach themselves primarily to natural riches and not to place themselves as their servants, the scriptures do not present the restrictive side more preponderantly, but they point out in an even more accentuated way the magnitudes of what all people, everywhere in the world, can achieve in God and His gifts. On the other hand, learning and renewing the understanding about the riches of God requires humility before the Lord, just as it requires that the eyes of the understanding be turned to God to be appropriately enlightened by the Lord, and not be turned primarily to what is material and transient. Proverbs 22:4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Colossians 3:1-4. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, or will manifest Himself, then you also will appear, or be manifested, with Him in glory. And the knowledge of the riches that are in God also needs to be known according to the God of these riches and not only by merely human knowledge and understanding. And for this, the Lord Himself gave us the Holy Spirit to help us and to know what is freely given to us in God. Romans 11:33. Oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out! Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Plus 1 Corinthians 2:6-13. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received, not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Therefore, the possibility of a person being able to relate in the heart with the Holy Spirit is a gift or heavenly riches of immeasurable value that God offers and grants to all those who receive Christ as the Lord of their lives so that, through him, they may be under a continual and increasing enlightening of the eyes of understanding about the other riches which are likewise available to them in the Lord. Through the riches of God's goodness and long-suffering, a person can receive salvation in Christ Jesus when one believes in him and receives him as Lord of one's life. However, this is only the beginning, for by receiving Christ, one also receives the rich gift of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in one's life to continue to have enlightened eyes to know countless other greatnesses and depths of one's riches in the Lord. Paul also expresses what we have mentioned in the last paragraphs in the following ways. Colossians 2:1-3. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Ephesians 1:15-21. Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age but also in that which is to come. Colossians 1:9-12. For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Now, on the other hand, people who do not serve God and do not relate to the Holy Spirit end up not having an adequate understanding of the riches of the kingdom of God. And also because of this, they deprive themselves of them or even despise them and end up inappropriately attaching themselves to passing riches. 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The values of God's riches are not understandable by the mere natural mind, For the knowledge and understanding of them are only given to a person if one allows the Spirit of the Lord to open the eyes of one's understanding and enlighten them with heavenly truths. Thus, only by being in Christ, through the Holy Spirit, can a Christian experience the riches of understanding and wisdom to harmonize or adjust one's relationship with all other riches and to understand the proper relationship with them for a profitable end and according to God's will. In life in God, learned increasingly through fellowship with the Lord, the Christian can realize that there are riches in the Lord that are precedent for adequately understanding other riches and having the wisdom to relate to them. In addition to being the expression of God's salvation offered by the Heavenly Father to all people, Christ is even greater than salvation itself and other riches, for it is He who sustains everything with the word of His power. That is why the Lord Jesus Christ Himself is the greatest riches a person can receive from the Heavenly Father. It is in Christ Jesus that God supplies all the needs of those who believe in Him, and it is in Christ Jesus that God gives us the Holy Spirit so that we may know Christ Himself more profoundly and, through His glory, also the Heavenly Father or the Father of lights, from whom comes every good gift and every perfect gift. Philippians 4:19. And my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Colossians 2:2-3. That their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Therefore, it is very challenging to try to describe, in human terms, the riches that God gives us in Christ Jesus, as no matter how much someone tries to describe them, they are offered to people to be unveiled and experienced even more widely by each Christian's fellowship with Christ. Given this, God shows us that the riches of the full assurance of understanding are first to understand that all the wisdom needed by the Christian is given to him or her in Christ and that experiencing the living and daily relationship with Christ is more important than merely having some theoretical information about the greatness of Christ. The information that in Christ Jesus are the treasures of wisdom and knowledge that precede understanding and the wisdom to know how to relate appropriately to the other riches is not information that was revealed by God to humanity for people only to contemplate and admire, but to experience it in a lively and continuous way in their lives so as not to incur the problem that the Lord Jesus Himself narrated in the following words. John 5:39-40. You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come, personally and directly, to me that you may have life. God's riches are just not comparable with any earthly values. This is also why they are so challenging to be understood by the human mind that is not instructed by the Spirit of the Lord, but which, on the other hand, become more and more known by those who receive Christ Jesus and His Spirit in their hearts. Galatians 4:3-7. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore you are no longer a slave but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. How can anyone understand with a mere natural mind how much it is worth, for example, to have hope in the present life and to have a firm and sure hope also in the face of natural death? How much is it worth to understand the forgiveness of sins regarding the bondage to sin, the condemnation of death, and the body of sin? And how much is forgiveness regarding God worth, to whom human beings have so intensely opposed? How much is it worth to have the eyes of the understanding enlightened to comprehend that the life of the soul is not limited to earthly and passing matters, and that there is an eternal life with the Lord available to all who receive what is offered to them through the gospel of the Creator, of Christ, or the Kingdom of God? How much is it worth for a person to be constituted as a child of God, heir of God, and joint heir with Christ? And already as a child of God, how much is it worth for a person to be able to be guided into all truth by the Spirit of the Lord, whether in the bigger or minor aspects of one's life? Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Observing, then, how much higher are the riches of the heavenly kingdom that God offers to His children, and that there are not enough parameters on earth to measure them, we may also see that the main focus concerning these riches, in reality, is not even necessarily try to know how much they are worth, but actually have them and experience them in one's personal life. 1 John 5:11-13. And this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. And because of the sublimity of God's riches, we can also understand more why the devil is so fiercely engaged in trying to blind people towards the riches of the full assurance of understanding that it is in the living relationship with Christ that an individual is also instructed about a proper relationship with other riches, for specifically against the Lord's very riches, the devil can do nothing and also has nothing worthy to offer in return. As we mentioned in previous chapters, the objective of those who oppose the will of God is to unduly exalt the riches of the world so that people do not raise the eyes of their hearts to God, for when they turn to God, the perspective on natural life will undoubtedly suffer adjustments in the graduation of its importance and corrections in its evaluations. In a sense, perhaps we could say, then, that the part of the Lord's teaching in which He exhorts us about the possible undue or abusive relationships that a person may have with natural or worldly riches is like a warning for people not to look at them inappropriately so as not to succumb to their fascinations and always keep their heart's eyes on God to continually see riches according to the heavenly kingdom's understanding of them. Ephesians 5:14-17. Therefore He says, "Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Anyway, despite the importance and the need to know that there are many aspects in the world related to the fascination of riches, we would like, in this chapter, to highlight in a special way that the considerations about the riches of what is offered to us in God should occupy much more our time and attention, for it is through these riches that a person effectively advances into a living and appropriate relationship with the Lord to be instructed for all the other actions of one's life. Philippians 4:7-8. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Thus, we would like to draw attention here once again to how essential it is for a Christian to look first to the Lord, His kingdom, and the heavenly riches, a point widely described throughout all the themes of the systemic teaching about Christian life. Concluding, then, this chapter, and recalling some of the previous topics, we would like to mention once more that all the riches of the glory of God to a Christian always have one and the same address as its starting point, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he in us and we in him, so that we are under a living and growing fellowship, protection, and instruction. Colossians 1:27-29. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end I also labor, striving according to his working which works in me mightily.